Welcome to the Silence the Imposter Monster podcast, where we discover how successful people with the same limiting beliefs that sometimes haunt you and me move forward and achieve their goals and dreams. I'm Lori Hammond, and today I'm talking with Kim Turgeon. If you listened to my last podcast with Dan Kandel, you already know that Kim trained with Dan and immediately started using her hypnosis skills to work with children, even though she didn't necessarily feel ready. The imposter monster loves to tell us we're not ready, and I firmly believe that the only way to get past that feeling is to do it afraid. Kim is an excellent person to model this, and I think that you'll love the bonus ideas that she shares for working with kids. There are lots of nuggets in this one, so check out the links below to find many of the resources that we talk about. Enjoy this episode. Kim Turgeon is here with us today, and I am so excited to have her. She and I connected on a Zoom FaceTime call a few months ago, and I was so delighted to talk to her. Kim is unique because she mostly works with kids, which is really intimidating to me. So I'm excited to talk to her and learn a little bit more about how she works with kids. And I really wanted to have her here because she's such a shining example of learning some techniques and then getting started. So many people want to wait to get started, wait until they feel ready. And sometimes I think you just have to start before you feel ready. So Kim, welcome. I was telling you earlier, I absolutely love the room you're in. It just has an almost magical feel. And I'm so happy you're here with us. Let's start off just by talking a little bit about the past weekend that we spent together.
Thank you, Lori. I'm so grateful to be here. So this past weekend, I attended the training that you and Freddie Jacquin did with an amazing group of people, and you focused a lot on the arrow technique and your weight loss without willpower. And it really just, one of the biggest strengths of that training was pushing people outside of their comfort zone. I remember tuning in first thing and hearing that we would be put in breakout rooms to practice the techniques. And I felt that pit in my stomach and that anxiety start to build. It's like, okay, you've got this. It's good. And really, that was just such an amazing experience to take something and move outside your comfort zone in a safe place and practice. And I remember the first breakout room I was in. I was in the middle of going through the script of the arrow, and Freddie jumps up on the screen. I was like, oh no. But it was just so incredible and a safe place to be pushed to take some risks.
I'm so happy to hear that. And then are you comfortable sharing the story? So I think partway through the day, or maybe just towards the end of the day, you had an opportunity to use the arrow right away with your daughter. Will you tell us about that?
Sure. So later on in that day, I was in a breakout room, and all of a sudden my daughter came downstairs crying. I was stung by a bee. I was stung by a bee. So I hopped off the training and went upstairs and ran the arrow with her. It was like an automatic response that I had. Like, I have this tool, I'll use it. And it worked. She said her pain was at an 8. And then afterwards, it was down to a 1. And sometimes my children can be my biggest critics because they've worked. My middle daughter, Lexi, has worked with Dan Kandel, who trained me. And she'll say, well, Dan's better than you. Dan can do this. So it was so nice to have my younger daughter say, like, wow, that was amazing, Mom. And it was just a nice opportunity to take something that I was training in and use it. On Sunday, the day after the second day of the training, I got a call from a parent whose child I had worked with in the past, who had hit a moment of panic about going to the beach. And she said, will you hop on with him? So I hopped onto Zoom with him and ran the arrow. And she sent me a picture about half an hour later of him in the water. And she had put underneath it a caption, I can hear his laughter from here. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm just so grateful for you and Freddie for giving me the courage to try and the tools to really help families.
That makes me so happy. Thank you. My main intention going into that training was really to help people understand that if you have that one technique, if you have nothing but the arrow, you're ready to go out and start making a difference in the world. And for everyone listening, I'll put a link to where you can get your hands on the arrow technique. It's something anyone in the world can use. You don't have to be a trained hypnotist. You can learn it in about an hour, and you're going to be floored. You'll think, this is too easy. This can't work. And then you're going to try it and be absolutely blown away. Kim, will you tell us a little bit about how you got started in hypnosis? Dan has already been bragging you up in the last podcast episode, and I would just love to hear from your perspective what got you started and what gave you the courage to actually begin using the tools after Dan trained you.
So I am a teacher, and I think that's had to be a shift, is my identity. I've been a teacher for 24 years, and shifting my identity to I am a teacher to I am now a teacher and a hypnotist took a lot for me. So I'm a teacher, and my daughter, who has PANDAS, which I know Dan spoke about, it's a disorder where strep or other infections cause an inflammation in the brain, and that inflammation changes behaviors such as OCD, anxiety. So I have two children with PANDAS, and they've been treated for about 6 years now. And during that time, I've become a really strong advocate and trying to help families find solutions to manage the behavior in better ways. So my daughter had been treated medically, and I felt like a lot of her pieces that weren't going away were just habituated patterns. Mm. She wouldn't get in the car to travel. She had this fear of vomiting when she would get into a car, and that was debilitating for my family. And so someone said to me one day, what about a hypnotist? Okay, I will try anything. And what a great idea to step outside the box of traditional medicine that we've been trying. And so I found Dan, who happened to be 5 minutes from my house, and called him, said, do you know what PANDAS is? And he said, oh yeah, he seemed so confident. Little did I know then that we would be on this journey together. Yeah. But Lexi worked with him, and it was incredible to hear her say just how empowered she felt. PANDAS often takes the control away from the child. One day they can seem completely fine, and then the next day they just can't manage any of these behaviors, emotions. So she did awesome with him, and I was so grateful. So we did a podcast, he and I and another PANDAS grandfather, and he was flooded with families wanting more information. So he came to me and said, what can I do for you? You brought me so many people. And I said, I want to do what you do. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, when I was watching Lexi's sessions, there were so many pieces that I said, this is so similar to what I do, just as good practice as a teacher. And it connected so many dots for me. And so when I started working with him, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity he brought to me, it really felt natural in so many ways.
I love that. So did he record his sessions with Lexi, and then you were able to go back and watch them?
No, I actually sat in on the sessions.
Okay.
There was only one session where Lexi said to me, Mom, I don't want you in here. Could you leave for a little bit?
That's awesome that she felt comfortable saying that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe that modeling someone and apprenticing underneath someone and actually watching a person in action is one of the best ways, is perhaps the best way to learn. And so when I was a hairstylist, I apprenticed with a master hairstylist for several months before I ever was allowed to work on a client. And we have these things in our brain called mirror neurons. And it's when we're watching someone, our body responds as if we are actually doing the action ourselves. So by you being able to sit in Dan's sessions and watch this master hypnotist in process, I would think that that just absolutely skyrocketed your success. I love that you were able to do that.
Me too. It was definitely very powerful.
Yeah. So how long, you start training with Dan, how long did you train with him before you started taking your own clients?
So that's a good question. I started in June, and in September, he said, okay, you're ready, go. You
can do this. Is this just last year?
This is just a year ago.
Awesome. Hey.
And I remember saying, okay, Dan, I'm not sure. Should we charge like $20 a session? I'm not sure that the value that I have. And I literally remember in September with my kindergarten children doing a growth mindset activity with them and talking about how mistakes, do they benefit you? How do they help you grow and change? And thinking, oh my goodness, I need to listen to what I'm telling the children, because it's okay for me to start and to make mistakes and to learn from these, and these mistakes that I make will only help me get better. So it was pretty powerful to.
Yes. And I have found that so often when I'm struggling with my own stuff, a lot of people wait to get started because they think they need to get their own stuff under control and have all their ducks in a row and have their anxiety completely solved, or their depression or their weight issues or whatever it is, before they start helping people. And what I've found is that as I reach out and I engage and I help other people, it translates over and gives me these aha moments where I can start to use these for myself. And mm-hmm. one of my most empowering questions when I'm struggling with any issue, I'll ask myself, what would I tell a client to do in this situation? And mm-hmm. it unlocks so many things that I never would have thought of otherwise. So I love that the growth mindset, is this based on Carol Dweck's work?
Yes. Yep. Okay. So I actually developed a survey that I give children multiple times throughout the year to see how they shift and to show them their shifts. So I should have done that on myself in hindsight. How has my mindset shifted? But it really, like I said, there's so many pieces that are just good practice and working in the classroom that I use when I work with children. And
what lucky kindergartners.
And you know, when you were talking this weekend, you and Freddie were talking about the negative language and how the moment you say a negative, your subconscious mind doesn't process that as a negative, and you immediately see that blue elephant that you said don't see. And in the classroom, we always do that. We say you use walking feet in the classroom. So the language pieces that we often use in hypnosis are just very similar with what good practice is with children.
Yes. Yes. So if you tell a child, don't run, you're literally making a picture for their unconscious mind of running, and it makes them want to do it even more. So when you say we use walking feet, that can you, people listening right now, you can probably even picture these walking feet, which is, it is almost a form of hypnosis. Telling them don't run is a form of hypnosis to make them run. If, you know, I've seen children carrying a big glass of something and their parent says, don't spill that. And immediately they're more likely to spill. But when you say carry that very carefully, it just, our language, our words are so incredibly powerful. Okay. Do you mostly work with children with hypnosis?
I do. So I think the youngest child I've worked with was 6, and then I've worked up to 21. And that was another shift for me, being comfortable working with teens, because I work in a kindergarten classroom and have for most of my teaching career. So taking that leap to work with teens and a bit older was a shift for me. But that's when I took in the words of Kelly Woods and like join them in their trance. And when I was able to think about like joining them where they are and not getting stuck on having to have a script or a plan necessarily, but find where they are and join them to make the changes, it just brought me to a place of comfort. And it didn't matter what age was sitting in front of me, I just knew how to do the work.
That's beautiful. So you mentioned that when Dan said it's time to start, you wanted to charge $20 a session. And I can edit this out if you're not comfortable talking about this. No, but what did he have to say about that idea?
No, he said absolutely not. Although he did, to his credit, he did give me the leeway to say, okay. So for the first couple, I think it was the first two clients, they were friends that had agreed to work with me. And we did $50 a session for the first three sessions, I think it was. And then he was like, okay, now we're bumping it up. And we kept bumping. I mean, he took a percentage and he said, it's okay. If you want to keep charging $50 an hour, that's fine, but I'm still taking 50%. So, you know, his gentle way of guiding me and saying like, no, that's not okay. And I remember him saying, if you put your price, your value too low, then you just look like that no name charger versus Apple brand charger. And people want to see that value. So you're worth more and charge more. And I will say that's been a struggle even still. And I think that comes from working in schools and not working with the money piece. I'm not used to that.
Yes.
And yes. Not used to putting a value on all that time that I put in. It's just what I do.
Yeah. We talked about that a little bit on the training this past weekend. It's something that I've had a hard time wrapping my mind around. And in hindsight, it's so cool for me to look back and see all the ways that my past has prepared me for what I do now. So mm-hmm. I was a hairstylist. And when I first started doing hair, after I apprenticed this master stylist, it was time for me to get on the floor and start doing hair. And my haircut prices started out very low. And the people that came to see me were the most picky. They were the most hard to please. They wanted to come back for a redo. Even though I was very well trained, I was already a great stylist. They didn't see me as a great stylist because my prices were so low. And as I progressed up to master stylist, I would go through all these different price structures. And it was interesting to see how the clients that I enjoyed the most, that I had the best rapport with, we felt like we knew and liked and trusted one another, were the ones that would follow me up. I had a few clients that followed me all the way from a baby beginner stylist up five different levels to master stylist because we just had that connection and the money wasn't the most important piece. And what I noticed is when I started charging a premium rate for my service that I attracted a completely different kind of clientele, people that were essentially ready to change, that trusted me to do this myself, and they would always book their next appointment. Sometimes they would book two next appointments. They enjoyed their time. They would sit down. We had a great conversation. They looked at their hair in the end and they loved it. And I really think that the exact same thing translates over with hypnosis. When we're charging bargain prices, people are less likely to really be invested in their change. They're less likely to see you as the expert. And it's uncomfortable. I'm not saying it's not going to be tricky. I'm actually just about to go up, bump my prices up again because my books are too full. And it's a little bit scary. And I think when you just start to do it, when you start to act before you feel like it, before you feel ready, you start to see the results that come from charging that premium rate. You see that you're actually helping people more and it makes it a little bit easier.
And I think you saying the rapport piece, that's one thing I found, that once I built that rapport with a child, they don't want to stop seeing me. Yeah. So that kind of feeds it. And parents then are like, okay, we'll pay anything because the success you're having is amazing. And my child really connects with you.
I love that. Yeah, I think so often when people say they're not ready to invest, they don't have enough money, it's because we haven't done an adequate job of helping people understand the value they'll receive. Mm-hmm. And for you to have the kid saying, I want to go see Kim, is just amazing. Do you work with the parents in any way when they come in, when they bring their child?
So I usually, the first session, we'll talk all together, but I really have just made this the child space. And I haven't had parents sit in on the sessions. I really focus on that this is the child's experience. And I say that to parents. We can set goals together, but I need you to know that when I'm working with your child, they're driving this. And I will say to the child in the beginning too, before we start our work, I need to know you want to do this. I won't do this work if it's just mom and dad that want this change and want this for you. I need you to be the one that wants this. And I'll say, if you decide right now you don't, that's okay. And you can come back when you are ready to do this amazing work together. Wow. And I think it just empowers children in so many ways that they have such little control in so many places, mm-hmm. that having that empowerment and me say to them, like, I believe in you and I want this for you is incredible.
That is just amazing. I would think that would immediately, just to give a child autonomy. Mm-hmm. I think so often children feel like they're at the will of all the big people around them. And so to give them that empowered perspective has got to be incredible. Have you ever had a kid say, nope, I don't want to do this?
No, I haven't had that happen. And I've also kind of held my breath a bit and like, oh, this could really put parents in a bad place. Maybe the parents will be upset hearing that. Mm-hmm. But they haven't. They really think they respect that. And anyone who's seeking out a hypnotist for change is really ready have shifted and try something new. So especially if it's their child, because it's definitely more outside of the box than even I was thinking when I was looking for a solution for behaviors.
Yeah. You mentioned that you work over Zoom. How can you tell me what you notice that's different between working in person and over Zoom?
Yeah, so that was another shift for me. I remember Dan saying, you'll love being on Zoom. And me saying, no, I won't. I don't know how to do this on Zoom. I'm so hands-on. And when I work in an office, I'm on the floor and on a blanket and we're coloring. And I said, oh my goodness, I don't know how to transfer this to online. But there's just different benefits to being online. I think children feel a different level of anxiety or lessened anxiety when they're in their own space. So I'm starting at a different entry point. You know, that having to see the office and be in a new room, and that uncomfortable piece is taken away and they're in the comfort of their own bedroom often or their house, and they feel at ease, and they're also so tech savvy, more so than I am, that immediately they have something they can probably teach me. So I'll use that to connect with them. And I remember too watching Kelly Woods talk on Jason Lynette's podcast about using the tools and shared screen and drawing on the whiteboard. And so I've really had to think outside and learn some new tools for how to engage in some of that hands-on work that I do with children. But it's been amazing.
It makes me so happy that you talked about that, because I think often we have these limiting beliefs about doing new things, about taking new steps. And you are such an inspiration that you were doing this. You had these limiting beliefs about working on Zoom and you did it anyway. And you started to find the advantages to that as well. How did you experience that shift and find a willingness to try it anyway?
You know, it was really little by little. And I remember too saying, like, I can't use any phenomena on Zoom. And I think that was the last piece that I brought in, because I was so afraid that if I tried it, it didn't work. What do I do next? If I have them put their arms out and do the balloon levitation and their arm doesn't go up, now what? It's harder to shift. So I started simple. And when we did the magnetic fingers this weekend, I had to chuckle, because that was the first one that I used on Zoom as well with children, because I knew, like, okay, there's very little room for this one to go wrong. Let's use it. And I also, again, I just had to broaden how I thought. So I do a lot with the bilateral stimulation that Melissa Tears talks about, and trying to use as a pattern interrupt. So I remember sending a package to one of my clients. I have to have them have this amazing ball that I use, that I really like for children to use when we do it. So I sent it in the mail to them so they could have some tools to use. And I think there's also that connection piece when you get something in the mail and you're excited about it. It just helps to drive that enthusiasm.
I love that idea. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. So I think sometimes thinking that way about, like, well, what can I set them up with ahead of time to build curiosity? And, you know, they get this crystal ball in the mail and they're like, what are we going to do with that? Yeah.
Do you, you don't have one of those balls handy in the space where you are, do you?
Joan, I am so sorry.
That's okay. Is it something you can order on Amazon? Maybe I'll put a link.
Yeah, I can send you that.
Yes.
I do like them on Amazon.
I really like that idea. I feel like I might even steal that from you, because there have been times when I've thought, even it's actually a really cool way to anchor a person to an experience of a pleasant experience to you. So when they, every time they see that ball, they're going to think about you and think about how much they enjoy that. So it's almost like this, a rapport builder in and of itself, and something that keeps you front of mind and keeps the change that they experience during the session front of mind, even if they don't consciously look at it, just that being in their environment and then them unconsciously noticing it, it's going to be a reminder of the changes that you made. So that's a really fantastic idea. I love this. This is why I love doing this podcast. Tell me a little bit more about how has your family adapted to the idea of you going from teacher to hypnotist? And are you doing, you can answer these in whatever order. Are you still teaching and doing hypnosis both together?
I'm doing both. The summer is a little bit easier because I'm home. Although I will say my family has had a harder shift in the summer because they're used to me being home all the time. So anytime I go into the basement and it's been, you know, their space too, I can hear the dog upstairs. It's been challenging, but the idea that mom's working right now is hard for them. But I think for the most part, they've really been so supportive. I think sometimes they've gotten to the point where they'll overuse me. Mom, I have a headache. Can you hypnotize me? Mom, I'm worried about you know, going to dance today. Can you? So I get both ends of the extreme. Either they want nothing to do with it or they really want me to help them.
And you're teaching them self-hypnosis. Before long, they'll be able to use this all on their own. And
so Lexi says that. She says she hypnotizes herself every single day. Honestly, Lexi's been an amazing teacher to have both, to have Dan to work with and then work with me. She'll give me ideas. Or the other day, I do a lot of reverse metaphor with children where their subconscious creates the story and we pull out the metaphors from them. And Lexi was reading over one of the stories a child had done with me, and she said, "Mom, this is amazing. You should teach Dan how to do this." And I said, "Lex, I'm sure he knows how." But it's incredible to have Lexi be able to give me that feedback.
Yes. How old is she?
She's 13.
Okay. And your other child?
So I have a 15-year-old boy, Joshua, 13-year-old Lexi, and 10-year-old Marissa.
Okay. Wow, those are amazing ages for them to be so engaged in this, and probably they're at least at an age where they can, even if they don't like mom being in the basement doing the Zoom sessions, like they can deal with it. Will you, and again, I can edit this out if you're not 100% comfortable with it, but would you explain to us, walk us through the process of the reverse metaphor? Because I have an idea what you're talking about, but I would love to know more.
So, and I'm not sure that I do it the way Kelly Woods does it, but when I'm trying to teach children to take a habituated pattern and be able to shift out of it, to really go through that meta pattern of recognizing what the behavior is and try to stop it in its tracks, children learn through having kind of automatic processes. So I took that shift and used the acronym RESET. So R is always recognize what you're feeling and become more like self-aware. E is evaluate. So 0 to 10, where do you feel that anxiety, that pain, where is it? And then the S is always the shift. And that's the activity that changes, be it bilateral stimulation or breathing or EFT type of activities. Then E, reevaluate, and T, try it on or try again, depending on where that number is. So I often start with that. And then whatever shift activity we've done, I'll say to the child, tell me a story. Let's tell a story. And they'll take what I've taught them for the tool and just embed it into an amazing story. And oftentimes it'll start in the third person and then it shifts to the first person, and they'll start saying, you know, and I I had a little girl that told the story about her fear of mom and dad leaving. And when she had that fear start to build, she saw a brain, a big blue brain pop in her head saying, run, run, like you're going to throw up, you're going to throw up. And we created the image of this heart, this big red heart with arms and legs that could hug. And it would say, she's fine, go away now. She's fine, go away. And as she said it, the brain would shrink until it popped. And the little girl created this amazing story about her parents going to the grocery store and the brain popping up and saying this and the heart getting rid of it, eliminating it. So then I take that and I make it into their audio so that they can really listen to it. And it just becomes their mindset and what they hear.
Wow. I am so glad that you're here today. I'm learning from you. One of my favorite books is Kelly Woods and Melissa Tier's book, Integrative Hypnosis for Kids and Teens. And I read through that, and even though it's written in the context of kids and teens, I use this stuff with my grown-ups all the time because I really believe when we can access that childlike imagination, and everyone can, even though so many people have this limiting belief about it, when we really tap into imagination, we are speaking the language of the unconscious mind, and shifts happen so quickly in that context.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I love that book. One of my favorites.
Yeah. When you learned from, does Dan work with very many kids?
Now I work with most of them that come through his office, but he does have a large percentage that he was working with.
Okay. So did he train you specifically for working with kids, or is it just No. You learned those tools, you're a kindergarten teacher, and you just meshed those two together?
Exactly. I would say, you know, he trained me in just general working with, more so with adults, and then gave me the resources that, you know, look up Melissa Tears, look at Kelly Woods. And I remember in the very beginning, after I read the book Integrative Hypnosis by Melissa and Kelly, I remember reaching out to Kelly just to have a conversation. And then afterwards saying, oh my gosh, who do I think I am reaching out to, like, Kelly Woods? She must be laughing at me. Here's this teacher who's been a hypnotist for less than a year. So when you talk about the imposter syndrome, immediately I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know if I'm worthy. Maybe she won't want to talk to me. But she's been such an inspiration in the child piece, working with children and being able to think and let myself have that flexibility to not have a script in front of me, mm-hmm. but really trust and join them. And so taking her and Dan and combining them has really given me the tools that I've needed.
That's beautiful. So I have two takeaways from what you just said. The first is that you, in my mind, you were probably doing kind of what I was doing, where I was thinking, how can I make this work over Zoom? You were the whole time likely thinking, how can I make this work with kids? Mm-hmm. And then the second thing that I love about what you just said is that you reached out to Kelly Woods and then thought, who am I to reach out to her? So often we tell ourselves this story that we're not good enough, we're not worthy, we're not ready. And when you just start taking this bold action, and just, this is, I'm loving so much about this interview, is that you have taken action before you're ready, before you feel like it, you've been afraid and you've done it anyway. And especially with reaching out to people that you look up to, I think that's a really valuable thing. If there's anyone on this podcast listening and there's someone that you've wanted to reach out to and you're not sure that they'll respond, I encourage you to do it, because what is the worst thing that can happen? Maybe they never see your email, they never respond, and then you're in the same place where you are right now, where you're not interacting with them, but there's a chance that they will. And this, I love this, because when I read Freddie Jacquin's hypnotherapy book, I listened to it on Audible, and it was life-changing. It really cemented so many concepts of hypnosis into my mind in a way that helped me feel more brave moving forward. And I really wanted him to know how much it impacted me. And I thought, he's probably never going to read this. He's never going to see this message. But I wanted to tell him anyway. And so I sent him a Facebook message, and he and I started talking, and we now have this great relationship, and we just finished this training together, and I consider him just like an amazing mentor. I've learned so much, and his friendship has impacted my life in a really profound way. So you never know. Instead of saying, what if they don't like me? What if they don't respond? Start saying, what if something really amazing happens from this? And our questions, the way we think about things, are really powerful.
I remember listening to Dan's podcast with you yesterday and hearing him say, like, we're all still learning. And it's so true. And if we can just learn from each other, how powerful it is and the gifts that it brings to our work with others.
Yes, I absolutely agree. Kim, this is so awesome. Is there anything that I haven't asked you or anything that you're thinking about that you'd like to share with the audience?
What I do in terms of working with children, I don't know that others don't do. I feel so natural to me. So when people will say to me, like, oh my goodness, you work with children, that must be so hard, I think, oh my goodness, you work with adults, that must be such a challenge. It just working with children feels like so natural to me, and where they are in the state of trance so often throughout the day. Maybe that's been a piece, getting past that misconception of what trance is. And the idea of, I definitely had this fear of my other identity, families of the children who I teach, learning that I'm a hypnotist and how that could possibly negatively impact how they see me as a teacher. I think hypnosis can sound scary to parents if they don't know and aren't educated in what it truly is and looks like. And being able to share with parents that children are in trance naturally, we all are, but yes, children especially just go in and out of trance in very natural ways. And that also is a reason for them to watch the language they're using with their own children. I think I haven't done a training with parents yet, but I really am looking to create a training for parents on some of these tools, like using the positive language and ways to help shift their mindset when their child's anxiety starts to build before they hit that panic. Yeah. How can we do that?
Yeah. I know Freddie Jacquin has a chapter in his book where he talks about kids. And Chris Thompson, who is Mike Mandel's business partner, has, I think it's called Toddler Talk, where he teaches people how to use these tools to in child rearing. And I'm planning to get that for my daughter, who gave birth to my first grandbaby about 5 months ago. But yeah, I think that'd be an incredibly valuable resource and something that people would lean in to consume. I'm actually really excited to put your contact information beneath this podcast, wherever you're listening, because I think people, it's hard to find people that feel really comfortable with kids. I've done 2 sessions with kids and I felt like they were terrible. It is not my forte.
You know, I think if I had to give one piece of advice to people who really aren't at that comfort, take what you do and see if you can make it concrete in some way. So like, here's an example. So I remember Dan saying to me, well, for your breathing, just make sure your breath in is shorter than your breath out. I'm thinking like, okay, but for a child, they need something more to latch onto. So I call it rectangle breathing with them. And I literally will draw the line while I'm having them breathe to see the visual. And then we'll add in words to it to fill that space in their mind. So, you know, I breathe in calm, I breathe out all stress, and we'll add pieces so that when they're lying there in bed, they can either have a rectangle on the wall that they can look at, and we'll remind them to go back to that. So take what you do and just try to make it concrete in some way. Boy, I had another connection with this weekend. When you were talking about the tiny habits and changing things a little bit, take something that you do often during the day and anchor it into a change, a shift, and a habit you want to make. And I give children a bracelet, one of the chakra bracelets with the colors of the rainbow. So when I want them to practice, say, the breathing, I'll say throughout the day, start at red and you're going to go through the rainbow and practice. And it's a way to make it something that they stay faithful to. And it's there as a reminder with them. So throughout all the colors, one time you'll practice your rectangle breathing.
Oh.
You have all the tools, just make them concrete.
That is so cool. Yeah. What a treasure of advice. This is just amazing. Is there anything else, any other tools that are especially effective in your sessions that you'd like to share with us? Any favorites?
I always have mandalas or other coloring sheets, and we'll let them choose which one speaks to them. So I often, in person, we'll color. On Zoom, I've shifted to using the whiteboard for sharing, and then I'll often have them create. And I know also Kelly Woods has used a lot of create your remote control that you'll use as your super tool to shift. And so I took that piece, and I will have children draw their power tool that they have. I've adapted some of the power cloak from Freddie Jacquins, and I'll have the child create, what does your cloak look like? Your cloak of confidence or your cloak of peace.
This has been so amazing. I'm so grateful that you are here today. I feel like you said so many things that are going to resonate with people who are brand new, who are wanting to be bold and start using the tools. And I love, again, the example you set where within minutes of learning the arrow technique, you used it with your daughter. You probably didn't get the words just right. I bet you forgot some things. It was imperfect, and yet it brought her pain from an 8 to a 1. And you told me later that it stayed there. The pain stayed gone. And then helping the little boy on the beach, you are truly an inspiration. And for anyone listening, I want you to know that if you've been waiting until you're ready, if you've been waiting until it feels comfortable, there is no better time than right now. You are ready right now. And there is so much beauty. All the magic happens outside your comfort zone. So whatever that scary thing is that you've been thinking about doing, I challenge you to, what would happen if you did it today? What's the worst that could happen? And if that happened, could you handle it?
Well, I am just so grateful to be here today and reach out. You know, I think we do. We all need to take that risk and reach out and support each other. And we can learn great things from taking that step and asking each other to share. So yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here, and have an amazing, amazing rest of your day. I hope you loved this episode. Thank you for listening. In addition to Kim's contact information, below you will find how to learn more about Kelly Woods, as well as a link to an amazing interview between Kelly and Lonnie Buse. If you haven't already subscribed to Lonnie's YouTube channel, I highly recommend you do so. You can find the link below. Have an amazing day.